Good evening, everyone. Warm welcome to all of you for our prayer meeting. It's good to have you join us today. So before we hear the word, let's commit this time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your presence with us. We want to thank you that you are here, that you are leading us, that you are guiding us. And we look to you to speak to our hearts, that even as we pray as a church, that you would build this meeting, Lord, this place of prayer, that you would teach us how to pray. And dear Lord, even as we look at the example that you've given us, that we will understand, Lord, what you're saying, and that your word will transform our hearts. We would pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take control of this time, that you would minister to us, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So over the last few weeks, I've been sharing about the different prayers in the Bible. And one prayer we must look at is the Lord's Prayer. So the scripture text is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 till 13. Okay. So this is what Jesus says. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So all of us are familiar with this. This is a good prayer to memorize. And you find that even when the disciples ask Jesus how to pray, and this is the frame that Jesus gives. So this is definitely not a special incantation that would allow us access into the heart of God. But this is a frame to help us explore what prayer is all about. And even though it's so short, it's quite a comprehensive frame. There's so much things that are happening here. And so today, I'll just try to work through some of the things that this prayer teaches us about praying. Okay. So you find that when Jesus was speaking about prayer, he was talking to a particular group of people who has taken prayer into the public arena where it's all about the show, the display, the long prayers. And then also there is the culture, the pagan culture that also uses all forms of incantations about prayer, okay. And Jesus was trying to sort out things, and he would speak about that personal relationship with God, and he would use this example of going into a room, closing the door, and being with God alone. And then he would speak about how prayer should be. And I think what is familiar to us about this prayer, and I do believe all of you have heard sermons that emphasize this point again and again, is that relationship between us and God. And Jesus illustrates that relationship in many ways. And we have heard sermons about the use of the word Abba. And at the heart of it, you find that whatever Jesus was doing, he wanted us to know that God loved us, and through him, he gives us the power, you know, he makes us children of God through his death, his sacrifice, and his life. And one thing he keeps saying is talking about was his own intimacy with the Father. And he tells them that I will say and do everything that the Father tells me to do. And then his own ministry is based on what the Father requires, the will of God. So you can see that when the disciples hear this prayer, when they listen to it, they will listen to it through the context of the life of Jesus himself. You know, all that he says about the Father, all that he expresses about his relationship with the Father and how the Father is with him in his life, which is challenging, difficult, glorious, good. I mean, it had so many parts to it, but it was that prayer that sustained this life. And so at the heart of this prayer is that relationship. So when you look at that slide, we know well that God knows everything and has everything. So prayer is nothing is not a transaction, you know, God getting something from us and we getting something from God. It is not a special incantation or formula like magic or witchcraft. This is strictly all about a relationship. And God invites us to speak to him, and he speaks to us. And in that whole communication, we immerse ourselves into the presence of God. We build a relationship, and we allow God to move us into a deep relationship with a God who is unseen. So at the heart of this, of understanding and growing in this relationship, is to pray, to have time to be with God. And I think we all know this very well, because in any relationships, the heart of it is that time of communication, of getting to know and talking to each other. And what makes this relationship so special and so central in our lives is how Christ expressed in John chapter 17, verse 26. He said, "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." So what we must understand is what sustains and what makes this relationship so special is the Father's love for his Son and the Son's love for his Father. And it is God's love, and God is love. And what Christ is saying is that when we learn how to pray, we learn how to recognize and grow and experience the fullness of this love. Okay. So yes, again, this is another topic that is familiar to us. As Augustine says, we have a God-shaped hole in our hearts, and the only thing that can heal our brokenness is that love which God offers. And what sustains prayer and what moves prayer is that love of God, which is not just exclusively towards us, but towards the entire world. And as you sit down and dwell upon this whole idea, you begin to understand why this is needed. Okay, so what it's the love of God that we must grow in. And you know, the prayer tells us that he is in heaven. And okay, so as much as we call him Father, he is God. And the title Father doesn't take away any part of his godness, okay, so to speak. He is holy, he is perfect. He is far, you know, he's all-powerful, almighty, and he's in that place that we are in the opposite end, okay? So there is this huge gap between us and God, all right? And we must know that, okay? We must understand that in order for us to understand what fills that gap, okay? And you find that in spite of that huge difference that God is holy and perfect and he doesn't need us and no one, you know, he's self-sufficient and he's full of joy in the Holy Trinity and complete in themselves. The fact that fills that gap between us is God loves us. You know, God loves us and Jesus is that expression of his love. So in order to appreciate God's love, we must also learn to appreciate the distance between us and God. We are all sinners. We are deserving of God's wrath and judgment. We all have turned against him and rebelled against God and are deserving of eternal condemnation. You know, we are to die. But God did not end the story in the Garden of Eden, and God continues to work away for us to come back to him. And God sends his Son to pay the price for the penalty of our sins so that we can be reconciled to him. So these two ideas are central in this prayer, and to spend time, you know, reflecting on that distance and then on the closeness of God, because He is our Father and He is our way, is how this prayer begins. Okay. And personally, I made it a habit to even work my own personal prayers around the Lord's Prayer. And sometimes, you know, it just stops at this place, because you just have to sit and reflect on the fact that you're so far off, but the only thing that keeps you with Him is His love. He loves you. He's your Father. He cares for you. He's watching over you. He's part of your life. He's made a way for you to come back to Him. And that's what keeps you in Him. And so the prayer puts God in its rightful place. He is above all things. He's holy. He's perfect. But yet, His heart is for His people. All right. So we must always keep those two elements in balance. And keeping that, you know, is a place where saints, the Christians throughout ages, have drawn strength and comfort from. Because He's in the most highest place, He holds everything in His hands. He is sovereign. He is in control. But because He loves us, you know, He holds us in His hands. Okay. And also, this has been the place of worship, you know, because of, as I can say, you know, the fact that God loves us and who He is and how He's involved in our life, and gives us, you know, thousands of reasons to worship Him and to worship Him for endless days. Okay. Because each day is an invitation to discover the depths, the height, the width, the breadth of His love, the riches of His love for us. So prayer is contemplating of that relationship, of being aware of that relationship by faith, of recognizing the greatness of God, and also being mindful, you know, of His love and His heart for each, for us, for His people. Then the next thing that happens, it follows the theme of God being God. So it has to be about His kingdom, and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if you look at this, is, you know, we come to a place where we need to surrender because of the fact that it is the love of God that reaches out to us. It is the greatness of God that we see. We begin to realize, you know, that in that place of love, there is no other person who is so invested in our interests than our Father in heaven. There is no other person who watches us and can carry us through this very broken world except our Father in heaven. So you find that as you dwell on the first part, the second part is natural. It flows in the idea that everything that we are, that we want, should be surrendered into His hands. And so in that green box, I put some things. I mean, this is the place where we are always struggling up and down. We have our problems pulling us one way. We have our solutions that is pulling us another way. We have our dreams, and again, taking us one direction, and things we fear. We have our obedience, in which we take pride, and our reluctance. We have our weaknesses, pain and shame. We have our strength and our pride. Okay. We live in a broken world. And you find the point is this: when you know God's love is there for you, and when you see God's love heal you and heal the people around you, you begin to understand that as you surrender, you know, the merging of heaven on earth, you know, the final picture which Jesus says in the book of Revelation, that there will be no more tears, no more crying. God will wipe every tear from the eyes, and no more death. You begin to see that is the vision, that the hope that the loving Father brings. And that is your desire, that the presence of God, that His will, His good and perfect will, you know, which is led by His heart for this broken world, affects every aspect of this world. Okay, and you find, you know, the calling for the world is a calling built on hope that this broken world will be transformed. This hopeless community will be affected by him. And all our affections and desires and every aspect of life will be shaped by him for his glorious and good purpose. And I mean, there's not much time, but when you think about the list, you know how we, in our minds, we move left, right, we are thinking about this, we are thinking about that, and we are in this broken world, and we see all the brokenness around us, and we are affected by it in very deep ways. But that relationship that we have with God lifts us up, and that vision of God being in control, and God love, and God's work, you know, compels us to call upon him, to seek his will and his kingdom come upon us. All right. So the prayer moves in that direction, to seek the will of God. And you find that's what Jesus did, you know, when he walked around, when he illustrated the will of God. It was about healing, about reaching out. It was setting things right. It was about justice and mercy and kindness and goodness. It is about showing, you know, making a way for people who have been discarded by others, the lepers, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, everything back to him. So where there was no hope, there was so much brokenness, where people were tormented by evil spirits and all these things happening, the merging of the kingdom, and God's kingdom comes, you see the beauty and the goodness of the kingdom filling the lives of individuals and overflowing into the lives of others. So that's the prayer of seeking God's kingdom and build in our lives. And of course, there's the reality of our daily needs, of the need for care, for provision. And you find when we use the term daily bread, this term is so loaded. I mean, the picture that comes in our mind is the story of Israel going through the desert. And is, I mean, the people complain, and you find that in the desert, the fact that they were nomads and they were traveling, there was no opportunity to plant and to see things grow. And they had to depend wholly on God for that provision. And God would provide enough for each day, except for the day before Sabbath, there'll be a double portion so they can rest on the Sabbath. So God will provide enough to sustain his people. And God was always showing the people of Israel that in spite of the challenges and the harshness of the desert, God is able to sustain his people. And when we think about provision, I guess we all move towards it from different places. And, you know, for some of us, perhaps there have been occasions where we really did not know where our next meal is coming from, whether we'll be able to afford, you know, a roof above our heads. And we have seen poverty, and we have seen difficulty, and we've seen challenges. And a huge percentage of the population of this world struggles. And keeping in that, you know, when you see how the church throughout the ages pray, they would look to God for sustenance. It's just more about bread. It's about being nurtured and carried by the hands of God. And that's the thing. I have shared this before, and I'm sure you've met people, Christians, from very in difficult situations, in very difficult situations, in countries which are being persecuted, and you've heard their stories, and they all speak about the daily bread, the sustenance that they receive from the Lord. And so the challenges differ. Perhaps it's your working life, the relationships at home, the things that you are going through at this present moment. So you would need different things to sustain you each day. And so the person comes and looks to God and depends on God for that sustenance. So at this point of prayer, you begin to understand that the way we should approach God is where we confess our need for Him, of Him to take care of us. We need Him to care for us. So it's, even though we have finances and we can strive to accumulate wealth and provision on whatever it is, all those things will not sustain you or nurture you the way God takes care of you. The way He provides is different. And so you see, whether people who are sick or suffering or going through difficulty, He can sustain them. He can carry them through those moments. So that's the difference that we must be aware of. And also, as you can see, the posture is there, the constant recognition that God sustains and gives lives, and it's in Him that we thrive and that we grow. And it is that need to surrender before Him. And therefore, we can understand why Jesus says that we need to be like children, and we need to look to God with humility, and we have to know that we are looking for rest at His feet for comfort and strength. So it all comes back to that place. You know, the strength of a Christian is knowing that God is great and God loves us, and that we can ask Him to care for us. Okay. So we move to the next thing. All right. And this is about forgiveness. Okay. So let's think about it. The prayer is very short. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Now, if you look at the topic itself, as I put it in the notes, people hurt people. So if I ask you to sit down and make a list of all the people you hurt and all the people who hurt you and how terrible is that hurt, it's going to take you a very long time to sit down and work that out. So it's not like these are small things. These are huge lists. These hurts have altered the way we see life. It has driven us into different places. And I've put that chart there. You know, within us, our own pride, anger, failings, and selfishness. And then on the other hand, the pain of betrayal that we've experienced, or rejection, or abuse, you know. And how that feeds into our own lives, and then we perpetrate these things, and that becomes an endless cycle. Okay. So this is a huge thing, and we see people go for counseling and trying to ease the pain. They deny, or they watch TV, or they, you know, just run away, work, excessively, and they try many things to forget about all of this because it's just too much. But as much as we try to forget about it, it is still there, and it's a powerful force that shapes our life for the worse if it's not dealt with. So that's the thing. When you sit down, there are things that has happened in your life, and the things that you don't want to talk about, the things you don't want to bring into light because you're ashamed, you're afraid. And because of all the things that happen, you feel that, hey, you know, this is how it is. Nothing good can come out of this. You've come to a conclusion where you just feel life is like this. We just need to survive. But the thing is about a loving God is, you know, He penetrates the deepest parts of our hearts to actually deal with all of this. And in this place of reconciliation, in this place of letting go of things, in the place of addressing our own fallenness, and the anger that we have with ourselves, and also the place where we let go, the fact that we are angry that we allow so many people to take advantage of us, and why did we accept that lie? Why did we allow this person to embrace us into a relationship which they would later turn against us? You know, all these things is just there in our heads somewhere, and it's working in our lives. But in the place of daily prayer and seeking God, in the place of where we rest in His love, God deals with all of this. And this is a long process. Okay, takes time, but God does it in amazing ways. Okay, and that's the thing, when you begin to understand that conversation God is having with you, you begin to see that how you see yourself and how you see others starts to change for the better. Yes, God will take you through painful moments, but the point is, when you start to come to this place and let go of those things and allow God to restore you, you will receive the healing and the wholeness. And even if you grieve, you have a loving God, a loving Father in which you can grieve before and receive comfort and acceptance from Him as part of that healing. So this again covers so much, and this is just so real, and this is something that really works into our lives, and we must be very clear about addressing this in the presence of God, and then also with others as God, as we pray. So the final one is temptation and the evil one. So we must be mindful, as much as we understand who God is and His love for us. The way things have been set up, you know, from day one, is that there is an enemy. And God has allowed this to help us understand what it means to be free, to choose and to respond to God in love. So, as much as we see God undoing the works of the enemy, and God who opposes the works of the enemy and the victory of Christ in the cross, we know Satan is like a roaring lion, and he seeks to destroy and kill and steal from people. And that is a reality that this prayer invites us to consider. Okay. And how we must frame this. So when you look at the NIV version and the newer versions, instead of using the old King James, deliver us from evil, they emphasize the article, which is found in the Greek language, the evil one. So it speaks about Satan himself, deliver us from his power. Okay. And I put up some verses there. So you do realize that, you know, the first one was said by Joseph, and he experienced a lot of evil. A lot of things were done for evil to harm him. But yet, he did not succumb into the hands of the evil one. He was delivered by God, and God turned all that evil into good. And that's what God does. So the point is here, you know, all our prayers is not so that we can go into a place where we are in total bliss, where there's no evil, difficulty, and hardships. But rather, we've come into a place where we can depend on God and trust God through His hardships and the work that He's doing in our hearts, you know, so that we may bear fruit and thrive and see His power sustain us, and not rather than being subjected to the hands of Satan who will break us through these events. So it is clear Jesus Himself faced hardships, and it is clear that He invites us to embrace the same cross. And if you look at the early church, they face intense persecution. And even today, all of us face evil and we are hurt by others and things happen to us. And some of the evil we have to face is the direct result of our confession and our faith in God. And that happens in different degrees for different people. But that is the fact. And of course, many people try to offer a form of gospel and say, if you trust in God, you know, it's like the prosperity, you don't have to be touched by evil. You will have all the money, you have all the wealth and all this. But you understand that the end result of those things is to succumb to those powers, those idols, and come to a place where you actually don't need God and where your whole life is about yourself, your pride, and you're trying to show others that you're better off in a very worldly manner. Okay. But what we are seeing here is a spiritual battle. And this is about the work of the Spirit within our hearts. That in spite of the evil we face, we are shaped by God. We are devoted to God. And we are able to see God turn things around, bringing His goodness into our lives. So the thing is this, God does not intentionally allow you to suffer evil so that He can bring good. The fact is, the world has embraced evil because of its fallenness. That's the state of things. You and I are sinners. We have rebelled against God and we are prone to sin. And that's the reality. And we live in a sinful world. And we are affected by its sinfulness every day in our life. But what we understand through this prayer is that even though we are in this world, we are in His arms as Jesus prayed. We have a peace that comes from Him. We have life through the Spirit. And all this brokenness will not break us. In fact, God will take all the works of the devil and turn it around back on Him. And what is intended to harm us, God will accomplish it, to make us His instruments so that not only us, not only we are saved, but we are His instruments in saving many other lives. And no matter how things turn out, God will work His good for those who love Him. Okay, and at the end, all things will come together. Okay, and that end we embrace with hope. It is the merging of the kingdom, heaven coming to earth, and God's presence being with His people. So that is the reality, and that's what we pray that we, it's not that we are praying that evil does not happen to us, but we pray in the midst of all of this. We are not broken by the devil. We are not tempted in a way that will move us away from the Father. We are not deceived. We are granted wisdom and understanding to remain true to God in all things. So as you can see, this is a very comprehensive prayer. There is a lot of things to think about, and it very carefully covers every aspect of our spiritual life. The fact that we need that loving relationship with God, the Father through the Son in the Spirit, the fact that we need God to sustain us, and the whole thing about loving God and loving others, the need for healing and brokenness that have accumulated within our hearts as a result of all the things that has happened. And finally, the deliverance from the darkness and the powers of the evil one. Okay, and this is how God would want us to pray. So I would encourage you to think about what I've shared and take your time and work through this prayer. I mean, that's the beauty of the Bible. When you start praying and you start obeying God and you start moving into that place of surrender, slowly things start opening up to you, and that goes on for all eternity. You begin to see the depth and the riches of God's heart and how He really wants to speak to all that parts of your heart that must be addressed by His love, His grace, and His goodness. Okay. So we are going to go in a time of prayer. I'm going to invite you to pray any of His requests, whether it's a long or short prayer. We just pray. The first section is based on what I've shared. And what we're doing is we are praying as a body. So when we pray for knowing the Father, let's pray this church will know the heart of the Father. We pray as for everyone in this church. And then, of course, we're going to pray for the community project, the ministries, our Sunday service. And then we've heard about the earthquake. We pray for the victims and the ministries. Continue to lift up Elliot and Michelle. Michelle lost her sister to cancer. And continue to keep her in prayer, those who are ill. And we'll pray for the nation. Okay. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for who You are. We are amazed by the fact that You love us, dear Lord. And we pray that we will grow in Your love. That every time we are fearful of the distance, how far we are from You, how we have failed You, how we are inadequate for You, not good enough for You, we'll be mindful of Your love that breaches that distance. Your love that comes to us. Your love displayed to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came down and died for us so that Your Spirit may dwell in us. That we are baptized by the Holy Spirit and the Spirit cries out within us, Abba, Father, we are Your children. So, Lord, let us be mindful of Your love. And we know this is not something we can accomplish on our own. It is something that we learn and grow in only in Your presence, O Lord. So, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to invest in this relationship. Teach us how to grow in this relationship. Speak to our hearts. Set us free, dear Lord. Draw us to Your heart. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to praise You and thank You. We commit Elliot and Michelle into Your hands. Dear Lord, in this time of loss, we pray that You continue to comfort them and carry them. Let's pray for Michelle's sister's family, husband, and the children. And dear Lord, it's difficult when you lose someone you love to cancer. And we pray that all they've seen and experienced, only You can hold their hearts and draw them to Your side, dear Lord. We pray for healing that in the moment of grief, that they will find comfort in You, and You would send Your servants to speak and carry them, Lord, in this time. We also pray, Lord, for those who are not feeling well. We continue to seek Your healing touch, dear Lord. We pray, Lord Father, that You would deliver them from all illnesses and that they will recover, Lord. That they will experience Your hand in their lives.
Dear Lord, we want to thank you for your presence with us. And as a church, we again commit this church into your hands. And we pray that you would lead us, Lord, to understand your will. That collectively, Lord, that we will understand what you're doing here and how you want this church to be built. That all together, Lord, Father, that we will bring in the pieces. And together, Lord, discern your good work, Lord, in this place. And dear Lord, we know, Lord, Father, that in knowing to know this, you want a praying church, dear Lord. And so, God, we ask you, Lord, that you would teach this church how to pray. That you would teach this church how to wait in your presence. That you teach this church to be still and know that you are God. That you teach this church, Lord, to be surrendered to your will, to let go and allow you to take hold of things. That you will teach this church to be humble before you. But most of all, Lord, that you will teach us about your love. You will fill us with your love. Dear Lord, also we want to commit our nation into your hands. You know there are many things happening, but we pray for protection, for grace. We pray for freedom of religion. We pray, Lord Father, also for wisdom. So, Lord, and wisdom and compassion so that those who are in need, the poor, the foreigners, the people who are struggling, that their needs will be looked after, Lord. That you will raise, Lord, your people to stand in places of influence so that your kingdom and your will be done, dear Lord. We continue to pray for the Church of Malaysia that we will be devoted and clear about our calling. We know, Lord, that you want to do so many things in this country. And we pray that you will unite our hearts to see your vision for Malaysia and that you would help us, Lord, come together in your name to be your witnesses, to be your hands and feet, Lord, to be your instruments of healing. We want to thank you that you have brought us brought us here together in this place of prayer. And we pray that you bless this place and you will grow this place. That you will draw many more to come. That you will put it within the heart of this church, this need to intercede, to wait, to seek your face. We pray, Lord Father, you bless us throughout this week. Keep us, Lord, in your love and your goodness. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.